I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, Harry, but when I think Hall of Fame, I think number four overall in the first round. I think Nick Madrigal. I think Oregon State. I think White Sox. I think World Series. By the way, this is White Sox Weekly 720 WGN. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think you might be getting a little ahead of yourself. I think it's just, you know, proper to say that, you know, we should discuss who will be inducting him, who will give the induction speech when he goes into Cooperstown, and how many World Series he'll win in a row, more gold gloves or all-star games, more batting titles, you know.
Well, let's ask Nick. Let's see what he thinks. Nick, welcome to Chicago. Congratulations on being a Chicago White Sox. We are super excited to watch you play at Guaranteed Rate Field. Sooner than later. How's it feel now that it's sort of settling in, that this is your new life?
Yeah, thank you, guys. You know, I'm excited. This is a whole new journey for me. You know, it's been one of my dreams to, you know, pursue professional baseball and, to actually be living it now. It's a dream come true. And, you know, I'm just excited to get things going. I know I have a long ways to, you know, the ultimate goal, but, you know, I'm excited.
Well, you say you have a long ways. You realize White Sox fans have you penciled in the lineup next season.
I'm all in for that. You know, it's kind of out of my hands at this point. You know, my ultimate goal is to, you know, win a World Series for, you know, Chicago White Sox. So, that, you know, and, you know, that could happen next year in 2 years or whenever it may be. But, yeah, you know, when I say a long ways, I'm just saying that, you know, I have a lot of things ahead of me, and, you know, I'll be ready whenever the time comes, but, you know, I'm just going to focus on, you know, going out there and, you know, playing my game at this point and, you know, letting the rest take care of itself.
Well, it's interesting just to hear you start talking about goals, because when I was reading up about you, Nick, you started writing down goals at a very early age, right? Is that true that you were setting, I want to play in the Little League World Series, I want to play on the Olympic team, I want to play in the big leagues, and you started doing that super young?
Yeah, I have. You know, I've always had things that have motivated me. I've had, you know, things I've worked towards. Yeah, I would say ever since, you know, the age of 8, 9 years old, you know, I've always, you know, seen things and, you know, thought of them and, you know, worked towards them. So, yeah, I mean, I always have goals that, you know, kind of motivate me and push me. But, I mean, I'm already motivated from, you know, my family, my friends. So, I mean, I don't need a whole lot of motivation. It's just things that, you know, kind of goals in mind that I'd like to achieve along the way.
See, I loved baseball too at 8, Nick, but I wasn't sitting down and writing goals. I was fighting for whether I could get chocolate milk versus, you know, the regular. Did your parents say to you, hey, if you really want to do this, why don't you sit down and put it on paper? I mean, how did that come to be?
You know, it was never. I never had to write down my goals. I never really even had to tell too many people about my goals. I've always believed in, you know, if, you know, you have something on your mind, you have something you're working towards, you don't really need to go and tell everyone around. And, you know, I've always had them, whether I wrote them down or not, I've had them in my mind. You know, my parents have always been supportive along the way. They've always believed in me. They've always told me I could, you know, do whatever, you know, I can do, you know, with hard work. And, you know, if you work towards it, you know, you can achieve those goals. But, yeah, I wasn't big on going around town or going to my friends and telling them, well, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I've had them in my mind, but, it hasn't taken a whole lot. I've had the support from my family and a lot of people have helped me along the way. But, you know, I've had that for a lot of years now. It's something I think I'll have, you know, for a long time.
I wish I had done that. My parents, when I was that age, my parents just gave me 3 takeout menus and $40. Nick, with the college draft, and you know, you could be the first pick, the second pick. There have been a ton of Jose Altuve comparisons. Is that a drag for you? Because you know you're taller than him, but is that a drag that for you do everything possible on a baseball field, and they keep wanting to compare you to him because you know you're not, you know, this like tall, you know, baseball player? Or is that a compliment because Jose Altuve is one of the best players in baseball and an MVP and a World Series champ?
Exactly. You know, it's a huge compliment. You know, I personally think he's, you know, the best player in the major leagues right now. And, you know, to be, you know, mentioned in the same sentence as him or compared to him, you know, I think it's a huge honor. You know, I know that, you know, for a couple of years now, this last year, because of our, you know, height, it's easy to compare myself to him. So, I mean, but, you know, I take that as a compliment, especially, you know, the way he plays the game. I think he, you know, does everything the right way. You know, he runs hard through first base. He's aggressive at the plate. You know, I think that's, you know, my style of play also. So, I mean, you know, that's a huge compliment.
Have you guys ever connected?
No, we haven't. I've never spoke to him. Hopefully one day, you know, I could kind of pick his brain, whether it's hitting or defensively. You know, I'm sure along the way I'll meet him here shortly, but I haven't to this point.
Nick Madrigal, White Sox first-round draft pick, number 4 overall with us here on White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN, Mark Harmon and Harry Tynowitz. Nick, who did you idolize growing up? Who'd you kind of pattern yourself after?
You know, my family's always watched baseball. I've always watched baseball from a very young age. You know, I don't know if I've ever really modeled myself after someone. You know, I've always enjoyed watching, you know, players, you know, the Derek Jeters, Albert Pujols, those kind of guys. You know, I really watched how they kind of carried themselves, no matter if it was Game 7 of the World Series or, you know, a regular season game. I really try to focus on, you know, how they handle themselves. It seems like no matter if the pressure was on or there was no pressure, they were the same exact guy every single time. You know, I think that's what makes a really good big leaguer, is someone that, you know, keeps their composure, knows how to handle themselves. You know, I really didn't have too many people that, you know, I try to model my game after. Yeah, actually.
You know, Nick, Carm thinks this is a dumb question, but I allow myself one dumb question per interview.
I apologize, Nick.
Yoan Moncada played second base. Tim Anderson can play second base. He could play outfield. He could play third. Moncada could move to third. I know you're going to do whatever the White Sox ask you, but what would be your preferred position on the diamond?
Yeah, you know, I would just say somewhere in the infield, just because I've played, you know, infield my whole life. You know, I've bounced around from short to second base, you know, my whole life. Even growing up, I played mostly shortstop, but even when I was working and taking ground balls, I would move over to second base just to, you know, have it in my back pocket so when the time came, I was familiar with second base. So, I mean, it really doesn't matter to me. You know, I really go out there and whatever they need me to do, I'm in for it. I know I've said that before, but I really don't have a preferred position at all. You know, I feel comfortable with shortstop and second base just because I've played those positions before. You know, if they need me to play third base, you know, I'm willing to do that too. But, you know, I really don't prefer one over the other to this point.
And, Nick, for the record, I said that you would say exactly that. Wherever they want me, that's what I'm going to do, and that's what he's going to say.
Well, it was either that or ask him if Nick Hostetler drafted him because they have the same first name, okay?
Yeah. Along those lines, Nick, did you have a sense that the White Sox were super interested in you? And did you, like, oh, this Nick Hostetler, he's really calling me a lot? I mean, how did that go about?
You know, it actually came down to the last couple of days. You know, the draft is so crazy. There'll be you kind of one team on you for most of the season, and then you won't hear from them, and then the last second they'll, you know, call you. But, you know, I knew the White Sox were interested, you know, most of the season, but, you know, I really didn't have a, you know, an exact idea until, you know, the day of or the day before, you know, just because of how crazy the draft is, and, you know, it depends who gets picked before you or different things like that. But, yeah, I knew exactly probably, you know, 5 minutes before the pick happened. So, you know, it came down to the last second, definitely.
Nick, you're the fourth guy taken in the draft. You're a College World Series hero. We see so many young players come up, and they put too much pressure on themselves. What is your plan going in to try to keep yourself from feeling the pressure?
Yeah, you know, I've had pressure, you know, all throughout college, you know, throughout high school, you know, different kinds of pressure to this point. But, you know, I'm going to handle it like, you know, like I have in the past. You know, I'm going to try to work as hard as I can in practice. So, you know, when I get in the games, you know, I feel comfortable. You know, I'm really going to just play my game and not think too much of anything else but playing the game. You know, my dad's always, you know, taught me to go out there and give everything I have. Just let the rest take care of itself. I know there's going to be always people with opinions and different things that people are saying, but you know, I'm just going to go out there and play as hard as I can and give everything I have to, you know, the Chicago White Sox organization.
You mentioned your father, Nick, and people may not know, or maybe they have by now, but you were, you're a twin and you were born prematurely. So there was a lot of stress around the family at that time that you guys would turn out okay. And apparently there was a baseball put in your crib when you were, you know, super little, perhaps too young to remember it. I mean, just how is being a twin and having a brother helped you get here? I'm wondering if you guys were competing one versus another. You know, he obviously pitches on the college level, so there had to be some family competition there.
Yeah, there was, absolutely. I have an older brother, too, that played baseball. So, I mean, our entire family has been baseball. I mean, I have three cousins that play baseball also. My uncle played baseball. We've been a baseball family ever since a young age. And, you know, ever since I can remember, we were in the backyard playing wiffle ball. You know, I was playing with my older brother and his friends. And, you know, it's always been, you know, a nice competitive, you know, kind of atmosphere in our family. And, you know, I love that. You know, at some point, me and my brothers, you know, kind of got fired up with one another. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's all fun. But, yeah, it's been awesome having a twin brother. And, you know, it's kind of like a built-in catch partner. You know, he's been there, you know, with me throughout my life. And, you know, I thank God. I can't imagine, you know, without having him or my older brother around. You know, it's been awesome. Ever since a young age, it seems like I was at the field every single weekend for my older brother's, you know, tournaments. And, you know, I'd bat boy every single one of those games. So, I mean, I was around the game and, you know, watched how older people played the game. And, we've been a baseball family forever.
A couple more minutes. We're getting to know Nick Madrigal. The White Sox core will be led by guys like Nick when they get back to the playoffs. So, Nick, you know, a twin brother, I got to ask, did you ever, like, do anything crazy? Like, he snuck in to take a test for you, or you showed up to take his girlfriend out to prom, something like that?
No, we're actually fraternal, so we're not identical, but no, nothing crazy like that. You know, he's a little bit bigger than me. You know, he got the height as the both of us, so he's bigger, and, you know, he's a little bit darker, so we don't look identical or anything like that. You know, I wish we did crazy stuff like that, but we haven't to this point.
Well, and he says, according to what I've read here, that you were the harder worker, that you were so incredibly particular about ground balls that you'd feel 100 in a row perfect, but you wanted to take the 101st, and that he wouldn't be the player that he is playing on the college level if he had not been around you. Would you say that's accurate?
You know, I think Ty is just as hard of a worker as I am. You know, he just has, you know, kind of a different work style. You know, when I was out taking ground balls and, you know, came home, he would be putting hours and hours into studying in the classroom. And, you know, sometimes I would, you know, put in, you know, half the work he did in the classroom and things like that. So, you know, he has a little bit different work style than I do. But I think he's just a hard worker as I am. You know, I couldn't have done it without him. He's been at first base to catch my ground balls and been there to, you know, help me out in different situations. So I've needed him along the way. You know, I've needed him there, and, you know, my dad also to hit the ground balls. And, you know, it's been awesome, just the chemistry we have and, you know, the way it works out. You know, I can't imagine any other way without him.
Takes a village, Harry.
Yeah.
This takes a village, man.
I heard that. Hey, Nick, I got to ask you, as a black and orange Oregon State Beaver, what is your opinion of the 624 color choices that the Oregon Ducks wear?
You know, I don't know if I have a comment about that. I know they have a little bit different style of the road. I was never into, you know, the whole flash and things like that. I enjoyed the way Oregon State was just, you know, playing colors, go out there and, you know, just kind of grinders. And that's something I immediately, when coming to Oregon State, fell in love with. And, you know, they have a different style up the road. I'm not too sure what's going on over there.
Did you? How close did you come to going pro before going to college? You were drafted. And it was a later round pick by Cleveland, but I would assume somebody as singular focused as you were, you had to at least think about it.
Yeah, you know, earlier in that draft, you know, I got a few opportunities to, you know, sign earlier in that draft, and it was a tough decision for my family and I. And, you know, it came down to, you know, the last second. But, you know, for some reason, watching that draft and seeing how many infielders that were taken before me and different players, and, you know, it just didn't feel right, you know, settling for something that, you know, at the end of the day, I knew that I was better than those players. I was confident in myself, and just something that didn't feel right. And I knew that, you know, I'd work and work to hopefully one day see my name on the TV early in the draft and, you know, see my name called on the stage. And, you know, that was one of the goals I had in mind, and just something that, you know, I wanted to make right. And it was the best decision I've made in my life to go to Oregon State. Just all the friends I've made along the way and the memories that I'll take with me, you know, for the rest of my life. But, yeah, it definitely all worked out. I knew that there was, you know, God had a plan, and, you know, I'm glad that I picked the right decision, and it all worked out that way.
Yeah, I'd say you did things right here, Nick. Congratulations on being a Chicago White Sox. Great to talk to you today, Harry, and I really enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it, Harry?
I enjoyed it very much. Off the top of my head, Jamie Burke was an Oregon State Beaver that played for the White Sox. So, you know, you're not the first, but I think you might be the best.
Oh, well, thank you guys very much for having me. I appreciate it.
How's the health, Nick? When do you anticipate getting on the field?
You know, I played my first game back last night. I DH'd. Today I'm going to play in the next couple of days. So, I mean, I'm going to, you know, go out there and, you know, take it one day at a time. But I'm feeling good at this point.
Very nice. All right. Well, hey, congrats. And we look forward to meeting you in person and seeing you out there at Guaranteed Rate Field. Congrats again.
Yeah, thank you guys very much.
Thanks, Nick. Terrific.
Nick Madrigal, White Sox, first-round draft pick, 720 WGN. Yeah.